Hello, my name is Isaac Keith Martinez, and welcome to Isaac's Haunted Beard. Today we're going to talk about Paul Blart, Mall Cop, from the year 2009, and I would like to dedicate this episode to my pal, Justin Herr. I'm going to do something today that I've never done before. I'm going to record a podcast episode for a movie that I just saw for the first time right before recording this episode. Film critics are like, big deal. That's our job. We watch a movie and then report about it immediately after just seeing it one time. But I'm not a film critic. I don't have that obligation. I love movies. I love talking about movies. And when I talk about movies, either on YouTube or in podcast episodes, they're movies I've seen enough times where I know exactly how I feel about them. And I've seen them enough times where ideas have popped into my head. I have gathered thoughts and opinions and takes on this film. So with this particular film, Paul Blart, I've only seen it once. So you may ask, well, then why do an episode about it after seeing it only one time? And the reality is, I actually don't think you're thinking that because I am of the opinion that most of you, if not all of you, follow me on Twitter. And if that's the case, I think you already know my relationship with this movie. But just in case you don't, or if you'd like a refresher, I am going to touch upon that story a little later in this episode. First, let's talk about the plot to this movie. I'm not going to go into too much details. I'm not going to provide spoilers. Although I'm not convinced you've seen this movie, I am convinced that you've heard of this movie. It's not an obscure title. It's a comedy starring Kevin James as the title character, Paul Blart. Paul Blart is a security guard who wishes he was a police officer. He lives in New Jersey with his mother and his daughter. He has tried to become a police officer. He's actually pretty talented. In the beginning of the film, they show him trying out, and we learn later that he's tried out before. And at this point in the test, he's doing like an obstacle course, and he does it very well. He really shows that he has what it takes to be a police officer. But as it turns out, he's hypoglycemic. He needs sugar. He needs routinely to have some sugar. Otherwise, what will happen to him is what happened to him during his police test. He found himself just out of the blue, conking out and falling asleep. So, he not only is a security guard, which he insists in the movie that he is not a security guard, he is a security officer. He is the head of the security guards who work at the shopping mall. He's worked there for 10 years. And he takes a lot of pride in his work, and he takes his job very seriously. And this movie, not a long movie, it's about an hour and a half. So I'd say like the first half of the film is the audience spending time with Paul, getting to know his world. He's the kind of guy that things don't always go his way. And because this is a comedy, it's for the sake of the joke. But he's likable. He's not in any way a bad person. You really root for this guy. In fact, the only time in the movie that you feel a little uncomfortable, or at least I guess I speak for myself, the only time in the movie I felt uncomfortable in a sense where I found myself thinking, well, Paul's not so likable here, was a scene where he accidentally, and that is important to point out, he accidentally gets drunk and shows why he doesn't like to drink, because his behavior changes in a way that he becomes out of control and does things to humiliate himself and, you know, does things that he'll regret later. But that's the only scene. I mean, all the other parts where they show him, he's a pretty likable guy. Now, that's the first half of the movie. They show him at the mall. They show the people that he works with. They show that he's training a new security guard who just started work there. And they show that he is looking for love. And he has his heart set on a woman that works at a kiosk in the mall that sells wigs and weaves. The kiosk is called Unbelievable. And he has a crush on her. So that's the first half of the movie. The second half of the movie turns into Die Hard in a mall. You got a group of villains who take over the mall, and they've got hostages. And this happens during a moment where Paul Blart is actually in the video arcade. He's watching the arcade as a favor for the owner of the arcade while he had to step out for a second. And while he's distracted playing video games, this invasion of the mall is happening. And all the people that, you know, I guess potentially could be considered people who could help the hostages, you know, they're kicked out. And there's no one left to save the day because the police arrive and eventually, like, the FBI arrive. Like, they're trying to negotiate with the villains. I want to call them villains. I don't really want to call them terrorists. They're not really terrorists. They're bad guys. It's a comedy. Let's call them bad guys. Inside, and they think that there's nobody in there that could help them, so they have to try and figure out how they're going to get inside of the mall. As it turns out, the outside of the mall has been booby-trapped, so if you try to enter the mall, you fail. And as it turns out, there is somebody inside the mall who could help the hostages, and that is Paul Blart. Someone who, once he finds out what's happening, he could easily leave this mall. He knows this mall like the back of his hand, and it does help him in his strategy to, you know, figure out how to, you know, save the day. But he doesn't. He doesn't leave the mall. He doesn't escape. He stays inside and tries to take them down from the inside, because in his heart, Paul Blart is a hero. All right. Did I like this movie? And before I move on, I just want to say that's just in case there's a part of you that wants to see this movie. I didn't want to give spoilers. And being that this is a comedy, I don't want to ruin the jokes for you. So, just wanted to lightly touch upon the plot. Now, did I like this movie? Yes, I did. There's the big reveal. As it turns out, I did like it. I will admit that I didn't really realize that I liked it until about an hour into the film. You know, the movie's about an hour and a half, and I recognized that at about an hour, you know, as we're entering into the final act of the film, I realized I was invested in the story and that I had decided that I cared about what happened, and I thought the story was told well, and I went, okay, I mean, I don't love it, but I do like it. But what I think is most important is this question. Did I laugh? Did I find it funny? Because this is a comedy. This movie's goal is to make you laugh. Yes. I laughed out loud about, I'd say, four times. And I'm actually of the opinion that a comedy doesn't even have to make you laugh out loud to be considered funny. And that might be a strange opinion, but I've seen a lot of comedies that I really enjoy that don't necessarily make me laugh. But in my mind, I go, oh, it's a funny idea. And there's definitely a lot of moments in this movie, right, where I remember thinking, oh, that's kind of a funny idea. But yeah, there were actual moments that triggered laughter from me. All right, there you go. That's about all I have to say about Paul Blart. Now's the part where I explain why I'm even doing this. So either you already know all of this, or this is new to you. And if you already know all this already, let's go and have a trip down memory lane. Here's my history with this movie. Earlier this year, I'd say it was January, I did an episode of my podcast called My Top 10 First Time Watches of 2019. And one of my favorite movies from last year that made the list was a film called Observe and Report. And that is a movie about a mall cop. And I love that movie. I've only seen it once. I've seen it that one time last year. I'd love to add it to my permanent collection. I just never got around to it. And when I watched it, I was aware that there was another movie that came out around the same time that was about a mall cop, a movie that approached the topic very differently, because Observe and Report is a dark comedy. And I know this might sound like a highfalutin thing to say, but I would call Observe and Report a comedy film and Paul Blart, mall cop, a comedy movie. Because I feel like there's a different approach to telling the story. I found Observe and Report to be more artistic. And I found Paul Blart to be a little bit more, you know, mainstream. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just the way it is. And I just decided that I didn't care about seeing Paul Blart. And I made that known in my podcast episode. I said, look, I'm aware that there's another movie, and maybe you might think that I'm talking about that movie. I just want to make it clear to you that not only am I not talking about that movie, that personally, I don't even want to see that movie. Now, I don't know why. Possibly just because he's a funny guy. But Justin Herr, who we know from Twitter, from his handle at HeisenHerr, and that's two R's, by the way, in case you want to look him up and you don't know him. He's a funny guy. He's a great guy. He's the reason for all of this. He brought this up on Twitter pretty much immediately, calling me out for, I guess, dissing Paul Blart, a movie I'd never seen, a movie I'd said I didn't want to see. And was saying, well, I mean, obviously I'm not quoting here. This is all based on a fuzzy memory, but like, why? Why don't you want to see Paul Blart? So it started conversations through tweets between he and I. Like, well, it doesn't look funny to me. I don't, you know, I decided, you know, I seen the trailer or commercials. I decided this doesn't look funny to me. I don't want to see it. And Justin's funny. I feel like he does things because he knows they're funny. I don't think, and I'm guessing here, I'm pretty sure Justin wasn't legitimately offended. I don't think that he's like this huge fan of this movie, and because I dissed one of his favorite movies that he wanted to go on this crusade to make sure I see it. I think he just thought it'd be funny to be a guy on Twitter who was constantly promoting Paul Blart specifically to just one person, me. And that's what he did. He was insisting, no, you should see it. You need to see it. So what ended up happening was, for the next, how long has it been? 8 months since this all started? For about 8 months straight, he has been Paul Blarting me. I'll talk about a movie on Twitter, and he'll reply with Paul Blart GIFs. And I had no idea how many Paul Blart GIFs existed. Or just maybe they're just a small handful of GIFs that exist that he just kept using over and over again. And they just seem like a bunch of different GIFs, but it really didn't feel like he found a whole bunch of different GIFs. Now, granted, he's probably using GIFs from the sequel as well, but still, it's Paul Blart in the GIF. There's so many to choose from. And he responded to so many of my tweets with Paul Blart GIFs. In fact, he got to the point where it just kind of crossed over into being not just replying to conversations I've had on Twitter about movies, but just conversations, period, that I've had. You know, I could be talking about anything, and he found a way to push Paul Blart into the conversation. And the whole point was, I think this is the point. I think this is what I got from it. Like, I'll stop doing this to you when you give in and watch the movie. And I said, no, man, there's no chance I'm going to watch the movie. And he even told me one day, I'm going to wear you down. I was like, challenge accepted. Sometimes he would, he'll say things like, you got cable? I'll be like, yeah, I have cable. And then he will reply with a tweet that was a photograph of the television with like the guide channel showing what channels were showing Paul Blart at what times. And I'd be like, nope, I'm not going to do it. I remember one time he's like, do you have Showtime? I'm like, oh, I already know where this is going. I'm like, no, I don't currently have Showtime. And he's like, oh, okay. And like, if I don't give him enough to bite, he doesn't push it. But I knew where I was going. And the funniest part to me was all of this is happening in front of an audience. People are seeing us go back and forth at this for months and months and months, to the point where people would try to warn me, like, you know, hey, you have Showtime? And then somebody else will reply. They're like, it's a trap. He's going to Paul Blart you. And the other funny thing is, a lot of people on Twitter weren't aware of how this all started. All they see is Justin constantly tweeting pictures and GIFs of Paul Blart. To some of his followers, as far as they're concerned, he loves this movie. It's as though he's Paul Blart's biggest fan. So it kind of backfired on him, but it's worth it, I guess. I got an email about 2 days ago, or about a day ago, and in this email from Justin, who has never emailed me before this, I open it. Even before I open it, I'm like, oh my God, his Paul Blartness has carried over into my email account. So let's see what he has for me. So I open it up and it says, you've been invited to accept a screen pass. To accept a screen pass, please create a Movies Anywhere account. You have been invited to watch Paul Blart Mall Cop. He did it. He broke me. He bought a digital copy of Paul Blart and then invited me to have the opportunity to watch it. I don't even know if he bought it for himself because he for real wanted to own a digital copy of Paul Blart. I can't guarantee that if this ongoing running gag of his didn't happen, if he'd still want to own Paul Blart, I could have swore I heard him say in the past that he didn't really even like this movie that much. But yeah, he really put his money where his mouth is as far as committing to his goal, this weird goal to get me to watch this movie. So I watched it and I thought, you know, the only way this could all end, is it over? I don't know. But I feel like the only way this could all end is, how could I just simply watch this movie, go on Twitter the next day and say, last night's film, Paul Blart, revealing that I finally watched it, and have that be the end of it? No, I had to do a podcast episode of it. And as you're listening to this, unless you've checked out already, this is not like my other episodes where I spend most of it talking about the movie. I feel like I spent most of this time talking about Justin, and I hope Justin is digging it. Back when he and I would have these arguments, and really they're just like comical arguments, no feelings were hurt, there are no actual emotions involved as far as I knew. One of his arguments was, how could you not want to see Paul Blart if you're this huge Adam Sandler fan? Which I am, which you already know, because I won't shut up about how much I love Adam Sandler on Twitter and mentioning him briefly on my podcasts here and there. I was like, well, I don't necessarily think that the two comics are the same. And he said, yeah, but they're part of the same kind of universe, you know, which is the Happy Madison Productions universe, which is Adam Sandler's production company, where he produces his own films and he produces movies for his friends. Adam has a gang or a club or an entourage. I don't know what to call them. There's a group of comic actors. Many of them were on Saturday Night Live in the 90s at the same time that Adam was on there. So that's how he met them. Who he's extremely loyal to the point where of them all, Adam became the most successful. He is remarkably wealthy, has a lot of power, and uses that to continue to give his friends work. So his friends come up with movies. He puts up the money to make them, puts them out through his Happy Madison production company. Kevin James is one of them. So Justin said, well, you're a big fan of Adam Sandler, and I'm guessing, you know, you watch the Happy Madison movies. Why wouldn't you watch this one? And I said, of all the people in Adam's group, his gang, Kevin James is my least favorite one. And when I say something like that, I feel a little like... I don't know, guilty is the right word. I just feel bad about never saying anything that's potentially mean or offensive about someone. I certainly appreciate that Kevin James, he's a comedian. He just wants to make people laugh. I think that's special no matter what. I don't think he's mean-spirited, but I was never a fan of his television show, The King of Queens. I don't particularly find him that funny or charismatic. I think he's just okay. I like all of Adam's other buddies more. I was hanging out with a friend of mine in real life, not on Twitter, but in real life, semi-recently, and I was telling this whole story to him about Justin and how he's been hounding me to try to watch this movie, and how one of his reasons why he thought I should want to watch this movie is because of my love for Adam Sandler, and how you also seem to like, by extension, like Adam's gang. You know, me personally, I especially also really enjoy David Spade, who's a part of that group, and that Kevin James is a part of that group. So why wouldn't I also want to support Kevin James? And I told him this story, and my friend said, well, I mean, that spot that Kevin James has in Adam's gang. I mean, the only reason why he has that spot is because Chris Farley died. And I was like, whoa, I never even thought about that. Like, you think that if Farley was still alive, Farley would have that spot and James wouldn't be there? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. That's totally Farley's spot. And I'm like, oh my God, I never even considered that. And I have to admit, while watching Paul Blart earlier, I was picturing Chris Farley playing the role. Now, granted, it would have been tweaked, so it would have matched him. But yeah, I could kind of see it. I think Kevin James is more wholesome and family friendly than Chris Farley. But yeah, I get it. I definitely get it. So there you go. There's the saga of Paul Blart, myself, and Justin Herr. I hope that wasn't completely exhausting and boring for you to sit through. I hope you got a kick out of it. It's been a kicked for me to live through it. And I don't regret seeing Paul Blart. I'd like to think that all of us have the ability to change our mind. I could make a finality type of statement, like I will never watch a movie and then change my mind because I'm allowed to do that. And I actually appreciate that Justin gave me the opportunity to see it. I'd like to thank him. Thank you, Justin. You're actually a great friend. I really am grateful that you gave me the chance to see this movie, gave me a chance to laugh tonight. And because of you, I had some really positive moments this evening and I got to make this podcast. So as far as I'm concerned, you win, dude. You're the man. You know, this movie was released in January of 2009. And typically, studios that release movies in the month of January, they do it to kind of bury movies. You know, they make a bunch of movies and some of them they believe in, some of them they don't. The blockbuster movies get released in the summer. The movies that they want to have considered for the Academy Awards get usually released in December. And movies that they don't know what to do with, they usually put out in January. I guess they feel that audiences are exhausted from the Christmas season and they're not really spending money in theaters. So they just kind of dump movies they don't really believe in January. Typically, movies released in January do not become huge hits. Paul Blart Mall Cop is the first movie ever released in the month of January to gross over $100 million in its theatrical release. Hey, congratulations. There was a sequel called Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 that was released in 2015. And I'm not against seeing that only because I saw this one. So, who knows? Maybe one day I'll watch the sequel. And Justin got me to review something that I didn't want to review. If for any reason you want me to review something, send me a tweet. Talk to me. Let me, you know, I'm up for suggestions. If for some reason I can't get my hands on that film, if you can do something that Justin did, like hit me up with a screen pass, yeah, I'll watch it. I'll at least watch it and see if I want to consider it. If you have any DVDs laying around the house that you just don't want and you want to, I don't usually ask for things, and I'm not specifically asking for things. I'm just offering that if it's the garbage can or sending it to me, DM me. I'll give you my address. If you want to just unload movies that you think, I don't want this. I'm not guaranteeing I'm going to review them, but I am always looking for more titles to review. I'll accept movies. I'll look at movies. Who knows? Maybe I'll see something that I want to talk about. Thank you for spending time with me. I really appreciate it. Tune in next week for another movie. Who knows what it will be? And don't forget to observe and report. Observe some films and report what you watch. That's what I do. I do it on Twitter. I do it on my podcast. And I come up with dorky jokes just like that one because I'm a dork. And I hope you appreciate that about me. Thank you. Aloha.